1, chapter 3, the book of Joshua. Joshua has taken over the leadership of the children of Israel. And they're preparing to cross the Jordan, preparing to take Canaan. And he challenged the people. A few weeks ago, let me say, we have several people out because of sickness and maybe the weather. I don't know. I was reminded of the fellow who met some of the people that has been out of church for a while in town. Said, "Been missing you." Well, they said, "You know, it's rained and rained and rained." I said, "Well, it's dry at church." He said, "Well, that's another reason we haven't been there." Yeah, it was just too dry. But I was, several months ago maybe, there's an article in The Sword that the editor, Brother Smith, wrote when he said, "Nothing can suffice or be sufficient but Christ, the Bible, and a thriving local church." And the article is very interesting. I cut it out. What we do at church on Sundays has to do what goes on during the week, and maybe what goes on in all the churches, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of churches that's going on while we're here this morning. It'll finally have to do with what goes on in the capital. "We're in a war for the heart and soul of a nation," he said. "Nothing can get the results we need except Christ, the Bible, and a strong local church. Thriving, solid, soul-winning New Testament church." He went on to say, when we get church running like it's supposed to, like the Bible says, it will impact the community which it exists. And then it'll impact the influence that we have, because it'll make such a difference. That's why Jesus would say to his people in the church, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light." He didn't say to the politicians that. We can make an impact for God. I guess when I stand here and have 4 years, what we want to do is try to catch people, get people to think. Because most of us would be convinced we're saved. But really, after we're saved, we're to be converted. It's not quite the same. That's why Jesus said to Peter, after you get converted, you know, Peter was already saved, but later on he preached on the day of Pentecost, and he understood what really being converted is. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Don't be tossed about with everything. If you, in the Bible, know what God stands for, and you see in a conversation, you don't say yes, sir, to something that God says no to. If you go through the Bible will be going through you, and you'll begin to think like God thinks. You can have conviction. You'll say with David, "My heart is fixed, and I shall not be moved." You know what you believe because you believe what the Bible says. I'll be honest with you. You get in the wrong crowd and you stay there long enough and you hear, boy, the devil is shrewd, and there's a lot of smooth talkers out there. And most people don't even know what's happening. Most church people don't even know what's happening in our world. There are only a few people who make things happen. Many people who watch things happen, and then there's a host of them don't even know what's happening. And I'll be honest with you, the greatest field of a management is managing our own life. We're not going to have to give account of somebody else's life that we try to get our nose into all the time. Brother, we give account of our own. We're headed to that day. Even to the point of every idle word, we give account. And you take the end of the year, you begin, about everybody, at least businesses, take inventory and begin to see what they were able to accomplish financially and so forth. But here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And God has promised that he'd be with us. We have the promise that he never forsake us. Then we go over to chapter 3. Begin with verse 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Interesting, isn't it? I think he could stand before us today and give us some good challenges, and it'd be about the same thing. I mean, what he was saying is that you follow the word of God. He's saying, sanctify yourself. Man, I tell you, we could park there. Because we are in a journey of who knows what the end of this year is going to hold. We are at the point in our nation's life and the nations of the world point that who knows. We don't even begin to know. The end of this year, more than any that I've lived in my long years, there's more things up in the air that could happen. Everybody wants to be a success. No one wants to be a loser. You've seen, if you watch football, of course, man, if you turn on TV, you watch football. You see big old football players, when they know the game is about over and they're sitting on the sideline, I see them with their head down crying. Because no one wants to be a loser. The only place that seemed like we don't take too serious is in our Christian walk. I mean, the Bible says, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And if we're not overcomers, it's not God's fault. It's because our faith is so weak. We don't believe what we think we believe. Not very many people believe much. And that's why God would say, without belief, and without the right belief, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe he's sovereign God, he's Lord, and that he's able. He's able. The world remembers a winner, forgets all about a loser. Some of us may want some victories this year. We are to praise God for it. Some of us have suffered losses in battles this past year. We ought to thank God for another chance. The Christian has a right objective when he works and wants to be prosperous and successful and happy. Nothing wrong with that. But this is not just for himself. It's for the glory of God. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad for those who are prosperous financially, especially if they tithe. You don't keep a ministry like this going with nothing. You support it, you're telling your heart's in it. You won't support it financially, but brother, let me say, I've pastored long enough to know if a person won't support it financially, their heart's not in it, because where your treasures is, that's where your heart. You put the money in, you tithe, that took some time to make that money. And I thank God for successful people who's able to make money and support the Lord. And you say, preacher, you preach all the time about not letting that things of this world. Yeah, I know. But I think we need to see the whole picture. I believe that God wants us to be successful. He don't want us to be ordinary. He wants us to be extraordinary. He wants us to have success in the Christian life. So Joshua 1 said that he said that he'll make that way prosperous. But we all that walk with God for a while know a little bit about the Christian life. The Christian life has a beginning and it has an ending. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've preached 2 funerals, and sometimes it ends in the 60s and sometimes in the 80s, but all of our lives has beginnings and endings here. We spend our life like a tale that's told. We are writing our own script. I don't care what the preacher gets up and says about us at the close of it, that it ain't going to change one thing. And most of the people know what we need, what we need to be reminded at his funerals is the fact that our life is brief. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a season, it's gone. And we need to make sure that vapor is a praise to God. What years we have. Man that's born of woman is a few days full of trouble, come forth like a flower soon cut down. So we definitely have a starting point. We make our appearance on the stage of life. Our spiritual journey begins when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, as I did on that summer night in 1944. That was the beginning of my spiritual life. Who knows? God only knows when the end of it will be. It could be this year. Who knows? But when we put our faith and trust in a God far away, we think at that point, distant deity in a galaxy far, far away. And then we find that he's near. After you get born again in the Spirit of God, he becomes your Father. He is near you. We need to walk with him. We could come before him with boldness in times of need, the scripture says. We turn our life over to God. You're not saved if you won't turn your life over to God. And I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about the fact you think you're saved and you turned your life over to the world and the devil. That's what our master is. We live in a world when people take such a little as salvation. You know, if you pray a little prayer, they think, hey, that's not, you can tell. You can tell. You see, when you get saved, you got a nature. You got a nature like God. You got a spiritual nature then. Part of you begins to think like God. And it's not weak. It has power. And the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, we're new creatures. Some old things have passed away. And then we begin to think like God, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He sent the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave us here as orphans. And when he's come, he's going to convict, and he's going to lead, and he's going to lead you into truth. Amen? And brother, this old thing of excuse, think we can't say no to the world. Boy, the things have changed in my 50-some-odd years of ministry. Not for the better, sadly to say. And our journey of faith is not static, but it's dynamic. Hey, if the world don't think you're fanatic the way the world thinks, you're not even beginning to live for God. Hey, man, after I preach a funeral, some of them will shake my hands and some of them shun me like, I can't help it. Man, if I just try to brag on people, brag on the Lord and the beauty of eternal life and the greatness of eternal life and how that we're all sinners, but Jesus came, died on the cross for sinners, and because of that, we can have a wonderful home in heaven eternally that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither entered the heart. Hey, you don't find that at Walmart. Brother, you ought to find that at the right kind of church who preaches the right kind and does it without apology. God help us. If you don't think the Christian life ought to be dynamic, go to Brother Board's book on study on the book of Acts. You'll find in there that they all continued. How? Steadfastly. In what? In the apostles' doctrine. In what else? In breaking of bread. In prayer. And when they felt weakness come on, they prayed and they was all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I thought you was a Baptist. Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost before there was ever a charismatic around. Years before. Baptist was shouting the aisles. It's a shame now that we let them do all the shouting. And they got a salvation that they may lose tomorrow. And we say we got one that's eternal. Something's wrong. We ought to be the one that's shouting because we got an eternal salvation. We believe that what he taught in John chapter 10, what Jesus taught, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, but because my Father is greater than all. But they'll say, you can pluck yourself out. Let me say this. And I know a lot of backgrounds. Some of you grew up in those churches. And there's a lot of Baptist churches that don't believe in scarcity labor. Not hardly any of the rest of them. But the funny thing is, they can live any old way and go to church on Sunday and don't hit the altar to repent. I don't know what sin you have to commit to lose it. But I'm telling you this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth's not in it. We still live in an old sinful nature body that there's no good thing in it. And I'm chasing rabbits a little bit. The ultimate goal of this journey is heaven. Eternal relationship with God. But between our new birth and our new home, our walk of faith seldom follows a smooth, predictable path. There's rough places. The devil's going to do everything he can to disrupt you. The devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you. And believe me, a pastor that really has his heart to try to build a New Testament church akin to what God tells us to build will find many disappointments. And I'll be honest with you, I love you kids. It's all right to call you kids. But brother, the devil's after you. You'll not make it unless you turn your life over to God. I mean, I see casualties all over the place. casualties of kids that grew up here. And you'd never know there's ever been in church almost. Brother, the devil, and I guarantee you, if they're saved, I know they're miserable. And it's sad. And I could let it almost say, what's the use? What's the use? But you know what? God tells me not to bound in what the world thinks is success or failure. After he tells us about the resurrected body and what the new body is about and all that in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, therefore, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the success. No. Abound in the work of the Lord. Why? Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Not in vain. We need to abound in being faithful. That's what success is. It is required in stewardship that we be faithful. That's what God requires. And being faithful to Him, if we're faithful, we are successful. Those that are truly faithful, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter the joy of the Lord. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was in hunger and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. Lord, when did we do that? When did we see that? We didn't even know. And then that other group that he said, depart from me. And they said, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you, and then I didn't know you. We play down, and I'm not, you know good well, I'm not preaching works for salvation, but I am preaching a salvation that changes a person and it works. What does spiritual mean? Because you get saved, it's a spiritual life. We're to walk in the Spirit. If we have not the Spirit of God, we're none of His. There's no, in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I look in the mirror sometime and I say, you lousy wretch that you're shaving this morning. You ought to be farther along than you are. You'll never get rid of that old flesh till one day. The songwriter said, the robe of flesh will drop and rise to meet the everlasting prize. But in the meantime, in the epistle of John, it says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we're talking about the journey of the Christian life and the spiritual life. People today have a renewed interest in spirituality, but wrong way. Check out the internet and scan the bulletin board at the grocery store. People are practicing all kinds of things to get in touch with the spiritual side. The devil he's full of spirits. Try the spirits and see if they're of God. The meditations, psychic hotline, burning incense, hanging crystal around the house. Man, you meet, even in our locality, more and more you meet all kinds. And because of the widespread confusion about spirituality, we need to say plainly when we're talking spiritual, we're talking spiritual in the sense that our success is empowered by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, Jesus said before he left out to send back to heaven, all power is given in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. after the Holy Ghost had come upon you. Promise of power. Do you think that he only meant that for those immediate disciples? The promise of power. Be not drunk with wine. Paul said to the Ephesians, don't get drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Is that a command or a suggestion? Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The average Baptist church does very little worshiping. We're so afraid that somebody's going to call if we raise our hands because there's groups that they will go overboard. Maybe, I don't know where you can go overboard or not if they're thinking right. Now, if you don't like to raise your hand, just keep them folded. Let me say this. I read in the Scripture, in the Psalms, everything that has breath need to praise the Lord. Even sometimes the rocks seem to cry out, glory to God, praise the Lord, and the trees clap their hands. But God's people that he sent his son to go to Calvary don't even have a voice of praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? Because they got something to say. Surely the redeemed, that somebody been redeemed eternally by the blood of Jesus, got something to say. So surely they got a testimony to give. Good grief. Surely we got a recommendation to make. Amen. Been born again in the Spirit of God. You know what how it happened. Tell it. Go tell it. Go tell it everywhere you go. Amen. And when we don't do it, we've failed. Oh, they can tell by my life. My life is a testimony. You get a pretty poor one. My mother was one of the sweetest Christians. But if she had never opened her mouth, I imagine you could have looked at the Pharisees and saw, boy, they have strong beliefs. The Sadducees, you got to tell it to. It's good that our life matches our lips. And that's the way it should be. Let the redeemed. That's one resolution more to say. I'm going to look out for opportunities, and I'm not going to cast pearls before swine, but I'm going to witness more because God commands it. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. The promise of power is the Holy Ghost of God. After he comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You begin at your Jerusalem. You say, boy, I give to permissions. That's good, but what are you doing at home? I'll tell you one thing. Won't be much give to permissions in any church if you don't take care of the home business. There's so widespread confusion about spirituality. When instructing the prophet Zechariah about the nature of true success, God said, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. Post Zechariah 4:6. After Jesus resurrected, he said what? Acts 1:8 that I quoted to you. Any success we have in this life will be accompanied by the power of the resurrected Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. What does success mean? We hear success a lot and frequently. We hear this time of year, I wish you a prosperous year. Most people tell you that success means achieving your goals. It means winning, climbing higher, getting your PhD and all that. Success is what everybody's after, whether in sports or business. King David challenged his son Solomon to walk in God's ways, keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments in 1 Kings 2:3. And his testimony is that you may prosper. Success, according to the Bible, is definitely a way of life, not just the attainment of one-time goal. Success in life is when we take our life and turn it over to God. Notice I said, and learn to live. Learning to live after this, all success has to be learned before it can be achieved. That's why he said, Joshua said, you get into the Word of God and find out what success is. Then your way will be prosperous. The psalmist said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, setteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. His life shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. But the ungodly is not so. You and I can learn how to be successful. But to be spiritually successful, we have to learn the right thing. And to learn the right thing, you don't learn it from people necessarily. You go right to the head of the source. And when you see and learn about God and it increases our faith, you say, whoo, what a God we have. Amen. What a sovereign God. When you find his intervention and what he's able to do, what a God we have. You and I can learn how to be successful through him in the right way. And we have a plan for our destiny. With any trip, our spiritual journey requires a plan, a strategy, if it's going to succeed. And we need to chart a course for our spiritual life. A lot of you are doing the right thing. You're always here faithfully feeding your spirit. We ask people, how are you today? How's your health? You know what we ought to be asking? How's your soul? How's your soul? The best compliments I get from people, and some have to move away for different reasons, if they say, Brother Parker, while I was there, I got fed spiritually. I got fed spiritually. You just didn't entertain with your jokes and that, but I got fed. Brother, let me say, a lot of people, we feed the old outward, the flesh, the desires, and try to please, and so we feel good, or we have fun, and when it's over, we're dead and empty as can be. But boy, when you get filled with the fullness of God, it lasts. It'll take you in life. It'll stay with you through the bad times and through the good times. Let me say, Satan don't have any happy old people. Brother, I'm an observer of people. He don't have any happy ones. But God, hey, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Because you know, we know that we're going to dwell in the house of God forever. Hey, we need to get in the Word of God and be thoroughly convinced that serving God is the best life there is, and there's no other life. And all else has a little value, but I believe in benevolence. But if benevolence is all the church could do because it won't soul win, it's rotten. I tell you what, it's like we eat our own bread. We have the bakery, but we eat all our own bread and let the world starve to death. We come together and rejoice in the Lord, but how about those out there that don't know a thing about the Lord? We ought to be telling them. We would if we were thrilled enough about church and come to hear our preacher because he can open up that book. that book, the Word of Life, where you can get faith. It's good to live by and it's good to die by.
Amen, preacher.
But if you're afraid, you're going to invite him to church and he's going to get up and preach a hot sermon. Brother, we need some hot sermons. We need our souls and our hearts set on fire for the right thing. The devil don't seem to be afraid of being fanatical. Rock music and all that junk is the most fanatical thing there is. They holler and scream and do all types of fanatical things and people flock to it. But we don't want that at our church. We want, you know, we want to drift in, sit down and say, "Preacher, I'm here. Bless me if you can." Can't. I'll tell you why. You're too full of this world. There can be no beginning at the beginning of the journey. There won't be no spiritual journey without a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to all check up on our vital signs. You read the Bible and open it up and you can see where your vital signs spiritually, where you're spiritually alive or not. Just because you come to church don't mean that you may be spiritually dead. You may have never been born again of the Spirit of God. But you can check up on your vital signs by the Word of God and see if you got the fruits of the Spirit that's coming out. Galatians 6 is a good one. But it ends up, tells there's a battle going on in each of our lives. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Then it ends up and says, "Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." In our family get together Sunday evening, somebody asked one of the kids, "Dad, give us some words of wisdom." Man, that's pretty hard for me to do. Well, I said, in my counseling, if you all come to me for counseling and you tell me what your problem was, here's what I tell you. You're sowing wrong. You're sowing to the flesh. And you're going to probably do some more reaping. But you start sowing to the Spirit. "He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption." And I see it running everywhere. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall out the Spirit reap life everlasting." There must be vital signs on a victim if they have life. You enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I like it when God moves in. Moves in on the song service. I mean, and when we sing, we know what we're singing about. Man, you can. Hey, you don't have to turn to that song and like I want to turn a lot of times on the last verse that said, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King must shout their joys abroad." Must shout it. Hey, when you've been at it as long as I have, I know what people think when they come in and sit in the pews. And they look around. And they don't hardly ever see anybody that's opening up and really enjoying singing the praises of God and singing "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Or "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." That's what you, hey, the reason why we need the help of the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spirits and song, making melody in your heart, when you feel with the Spirit of God, is because the Spirit of God helps us to see. We're seeing spiritually the fruit of the Spirit. We're seeing, we're not only singing the tune because we know that song, but we're seeing the message, and the message is full of life. And sometimes we get overjoyed and we can't get it out, and that's the best singing we can do. Because we're not singing just to people, we're singing to Him. Oh, God, help us. Church get on fire, people come to church and see it burn. But they ain't not going to come to a dead church. If ever church member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Huh? Hey, I know how to make our church a little bit better. I know how to make it 0.5% better when I get better and I do better and I get more spiritual to God. I can make it 0.5% better. You can too. But I can drag it down also with my complaining and critical attitude and spirit. That's a worse sin than getting drunk, I guess. God had more to say about it. But boy, if we're not careful, we'll take those side roads. I believe God has a formula for prosperity and happiness and success. God's willing to give you a prosperous journey in 2015. But you got to put certain things into it. And I'll tell you, I've already said that. But the book of the law, you got to get into the Word of God. You got to keep the Word of God handy. You need to pick it up before you go to bed, thinking that you, in your subconscious mind, you want to fill it with the Word of God, not some wicked TV program. If you want to be strong, you can't neglect the Bible and find true prosperity and happiness. This book helps you meet the toils, withstand the dangers, overcome the temptations of life. There's people all around us that needs wisdom and needs right instructions. And if we're not careful, we mess them up more because we don't know, have the wisdom to help them. God help us. God help us. But if you read and heed the Bible, you'll be able to lead a clean, courageous, strong life. As I said, it's a safe book to live by and a sweet one to die by. And you can build your life on the Bible with complete assurance. God is going to preserve His Word. He said He would. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall stand. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but My Word shall stand. God promised, and the devil's tried to do away with this book, but he's not going to do it. You know this book? It can't be destroyed. It came to us through a river of blood. This is a bloody book. It has sustained men through the ages. It's caused people who had conviction to go to die on and be burned to the stake and suffer death. My, I really hadn't got into the message, but I might preach that tonight. I read a story some time ago, a story in the days of the early West. There was two young men that was traveling west, and they needed a place to stay, and they come to this little cabin where an old fella was staying. The old fella looked pretty rough. He showed them to their room, and one was a Christian, one of the young men was a Christian, the other, he was an infidel, he said he was. After the old man showed him to the room and left, the infidel said to the Christian, said, "I'm going to take my gun to bed with me tonight. I'm afraid of that old man." But it come about bedtime, and the old fellow knocked on the door and said, "Before I go to bed every night, I read a chapter out of the Bible and I pray. Would you all want to join me?" Amen. And they joined him. And then he prayed. God bless these young men. They're away from home. Bless them and keep them. Then he left. The Christian said to the infidel, said, "Where's your revolver at?" "Oh," he said, "that old man wouldn't hurt anybody." No. God's people hasn't, that's right with God, doesn't hurt anybody. I'll be honest with you. If Sodom had a few more righteous people, God would have stayed it. You just keep in mind that the righteous people is the one that's keeping the judgment of God off of America and the world. Don't hang your head. One of the best uses of the Bible is to help straighten out our lives. I don't know much about building, but I know this. Jeremy, you know this. You gotta have that leveler to make sure things are level. But if you want to know how level your life is, how straight it is, you got to get in the Word of God. And let me say this, if it goes against you, don't throw away the builder, don't throw away the level. Oh, that thing's probably not right. And a lot of people's throwing away the Bible and throwing away the church that would tell them the truth and going to somebody to tickle their ears. Look at David. He's also a great man of God. I think the secret of his greatness lay in his prayer life. I know he sinned, but he knew how to get that taken care of. He said, "Even and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice." Look to the Bible. Look in prayer. You can't win without it. Look at Daniel, purposed in his heart. When they said he couldn't pray, he continued to pray. He didn't let the heathen rules, because he was a man of prayer, and he wouldn't let any heathen rules control him. Look at Jesus. He prayed sometime all night. And then there's a lot of elements of consecrated. So consecrate yourself, man. We're going to purpose in our heart to do something. You won't, if you don't purpose in your heart and say, "Oh God," and do it daily. Paul said, "I die daily. I die to self." We're talking about having good success in a Christian life. And if you don't have it in a Christian life, you've been a failure. If you haven't made a difference in people's life in a positive way, in a spiritual way, brother, we need to begin at home. We need God's help. We need Him. It should be easy for us to cry out to God, "Oh God, I need Your help. I need Your wisdom. I need Your power. Oh God." There's power in prayer. We haven't done the best we can do until we have asked for His help in lifting the loads and taking care of the problems. Let's bow in prayer. And Father, we realize that we're closer to the end of our lives than we've ever been before. We could say with Joshua, as he said to the people, "We've not passed this way before. And the journey is hazardous. We need Your help." If there's someone here that's lost, Father, You'll hear their prayer when they call out for salvation and call out for forgiveness of their sins. But until then, they don't have faith. They don't even believe in You as Savior, so their prayers will not reach heaven. God, I pray. Lord, it wouldn't hurt us to make commitments. We ought to make a commitment of our heart to You today, that we're going to be faithful. The Bible, the church. If it don't happen through a local church, and the reason I can say that, Lord, and You said it, You loved the church and gave Yourself for it. We ought to be faithful and loyal to our church and try to make it what it ought to be biblically. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's